hour number two, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game here on this Thursday, the first day of the NCAA tournament is going to get underway. Tennessee will play much later on this evening, but a lot of games today, and that leads us to Big Joe's tournament story, what he dubbed as the greatest ever.
All right, so here is a tournament story. Have you turned me down in your background there, if you don't mind?
Yeah, sorry.
All right, thanks, buddy.
Is that better?
So back in the 90s, they used to have a thing called the three-on-three tournaments here in Nashville. Guys, you remember these? We played them. I mean, there were 150 teams that signed up. They used like 20 courts. In fact, where the Hilton sits downtown Nashville was a big parking lot in the mid-90s. And a three-on-three basketball tournament.
Most places were a parking lot in the 90s because you didn't have trouble parking.
That's exactly right. So, I mean, everybody, it was great. It was a lot of fun. And all these teams went down there, and you had different brackets and different settings. So we went down there one day, and in the bracket next to ours, not the one we're playing in, was a team. This is the most fascinating basketball story ever. Was a team. And Chase, their team name, instead of being like, you know, Chasers 102.5 or Big Joe's Bad Guy or whatever, right? The name of the team in the bracket was Bye. B-Y-E. Okay?
Okay.
So if Chase McCabe is playing B-Y-E and your game's at 1 o'clock, what do you do? You don't show up. Why?
Because it says Bye.
Because you've got a Bye. Chase, this team went all the way to the semifinals. Every other team forfeited. They won like five games using the team name B-Y-E. Nobody checked. Nobody. And they were like, so one of the team, we were sitting there. One team goes up and says, all right, well, we lost. We forfeited. We're here. And they went and said, no, you didn't show up. The team was here like, well, you can't use the name Bye. You can't do that. And the people are like, I mean, you can. There's nothing wrong with, you know, you, BYE, whatever you want to name your team. As long as it's not vulgar, you can do whatever you want to. And the team made it all the way to the semifinals. They got crushed in the semifinals, went to the double elimination, got destroyed in double elimination. But it was the greatest basketball run of all time. So, friends, if you're going to do a tournament and you got no chance to win –
B-Y-E.
Name your team B-Y-E. They didn't show up. I mean, it was fascinating to watch this because somebody said, hey, I think this is a real team. And we're like, I don't say a word. So we were like, oh, my goodness. And they rolled to the semifinals of this big basketball tournament that was in town. It's still, and it's 30 years later, it's one of the greatest things I've ever witnessed in my life.
You know, there's one person I really hope is listening to this, and I know he's not because he's – you know, covering Tennessee, but I really wish Joe Rexroad was listening to this.
Right.
Because I have never heard anybody complain more about saying bye week than Joe Rexroad. He's like, no, it's the off week. Like he is like adamantly against calling it the bye week. That is fantastic. That is such a loophole. And if I was on the other end of it, I would be pissed off beyond any, you know, anything. But like
that was great.
Fantastic.
But to watch it play out in front of your face was like, man, this is something. And it was a lot of fun to do that. And obviously the teams were livid about this. But I thought it was great. Well done, man. And they rolled right through that. So enjoy your March Madness and tournament time with that story in tow. Good
times. That's a good one. That is a good one. What are your thoughts on your read on St. Peter's and Tennessee? Obviously, a late game tonight. I believe it's 8:20 Central Time when that will tip off as they begin their quest. It'll be on TNT. But you know, we know St. Peter's was a story a few years ago, playing upset. Tennessee, though, to me, they got to get to at least the Elite Eight for this to not be a disappointment.
Well, I totally agree. I think they will just crush St. Peter's tonight. Because, I mean, St. Peter's won that run 2 years ago, and they all remember it. There will be another team that will make that run again. They always do every year. But this Tennessee team, I think getting thumped last Friday was good for them. You know, they've lost two straight now, Kentucky at home, and then, of course, the first game of the tournament to Mississippi State. But I think that was like, all right, that was a massive wake-up call. And, you know, all these coaches talk about teaching moments, what they could do. And I think Rick Barnes is like, all right, you got your butt kicked, and here, you get your butt kicked again and be kind of embarrassment. I mean, you guys are – you play a lot better than this. But if you look around the country at tournament teams, Chaser, a lot of these teams like North Carolina, you know, Illinois ran through. Nobody thought Illinois would win the Big Ten tournament. I mean, so those tournaments kind of like, nah. That's why I worry about Auburn. Auburn played those three games. Florida played four games. Now you go in the tournament. You got to travel across country. I like Tennessee's part better than Auburn for the simple fact they've got to travel across the country. And Tennessee's got to drive 3 hours east to play in trouble. I think they had no problem tonight. I think if they win and Texas wins, tomorrow we'll be like, all right, they set it up. We know what's going on, all the questions. And, you know, sometimes a team plays off their coach's personality.
Sure.
And hopefully Rick Barnes is kind of like, hey, that was a long time ago. It was 10 years ago. I've been at Tennessee now. I got here in 2015. This is my school, you know, all that. And reporters are trying to make the most of it. I get all that. But I agree, man. Tennessee's got a path to meet Purdue in the Elite Eight, and they could beat Purdue and get to the Final Four. Again, Tennessee basketball has never been to the Final Four. This is as good as year. Last year was pretty good. Admiral Schofield and Grant Williams in 19 was pretty damn good. But now you got Player of the Year in Connect, who should be. You got a great point guard in Ziegler. You got power inside. I mean, there's no reason, Chase, this team should not make the Elite Eight.
No, there isn't. But I just feel like that there's a lot of people that have doubts. Their head coach is a great head coach in the regular season. I mean, he's a Hall of Famer. But when it comes to the tournament, it's you know, everybody that's asked me, well, what do you think? You think Tennessee can do it? I'm like, I don't know. I mean, tell me what this is going to look like in March. And here we are. So it's a tough one. I really, really don't know. I hope that they do well. I hope that they do make the Final Four. That's good for this area. That's good for what we do. I know there's a ton of you that are Vols fans and have waited your whole life to see that. And the fact that we can sit here and talk about football has been successful. The Lady Vols still have, you know, their work to do. Baseball's been successful. Basketball, men's basketball needs to be in there too. Like, so it's just, and I know they've been successful, but I'm talking about make a run, whether it's making the Final Four or cutting the whole thing, you know, winning the whole thing, cutting the Nets down. Like, Tennessee Athletics, would you agree with this statement, is back? And this has to be a part of that conversation?
I hate that. I'm back. I guess. I mean, it's just.
They're a hell of a lot better than they've been, you know, the last decade.
Well, I mean, things are cyclical. I mean, you're good, you're bad, you're good, you're bad. I mean, so, yeah, basketball making the Final Four would be something for that university that they've never done before. I mean, they've only been to one Elite Eight, and that was in 2010 when they lost to Michigan State, I think it was, up in St. Louis. So, yeah, I mean, this is good. But, yeah, I think you focus on the now. But, you know, here's the thing, Chase. They get beat by Texas on Saturday if they make it that far. Oh, I mean, it's going to be crazy. I mean, it's going to be the talk, everything. How do you defend Rick Barnes now? I mean, now you've had – God, he's been to three Sweet 16 since he's been there, and he's had great talent. But, you know, losing to Michigan in 22, losing to Purdue in – was it 21?
Or yeah, Purdue, 21, yeah. And they lost to Florida Atlantic last year.
Yeah. So, I mean, how do you defend him? You know, let's let it play out.
Know,
but how do you defend him?
But, like, here's the problem. Like, I brought this up. I moderated Jared versus Joe yesterday, and that was one of my questions. What are the repercussions? And both of them were, you know, and Joe was adamant about it, kind of like, look, there aren't really any. He's not going to get fired. Like, if they lost today, he's not getting fired. And to me, I don't think that's, like, I think that's probably the right answer. Like, he's not going to get fired. Like, he's right. But if you're a Vols fan, like, I mean, how does that make you feel? Like, it's like there are no repercussions. Like, you make the tournament because of how he does in the regular season. You get knocked out in the first round, and there's no repercussions for it. Like, you're just kind of in this purgatory.
It's a great point. I mean, exactly. If they lose tonight to St. Peter's, nothing will happen. I mean, should something happen? I mean, but they're not going to lose. I mean,
well, and look, that's a fair question. Are you going to do better? Are you going to do better than Rick Barnes? I mean, if you're a Vols fan and you know that every year you're guaranteed to make the tournament and maybe you're going to win the SEC, whether it's the regular season or the tournament, but, you know, once you get to March, it's a crapshoot. Like, if you know that's a guarantee, I mean, you probably take it, don't you? I mean, we know down on West End they would take that right now. 100%.
Oh, absolutely.
There's teams all over the country that would sign up for that.
Yeah, they would. But at some point, do you like, all right, enough is enough? I mean, I know Tennessee fans, at least some that I know really well, are like, all right, we got to do it now. Enough is enough. So to say that, you know, Tennessee fans are complacent and happy, I don't fall into that. I think they're upset. I think if they get anything short of the Sweet 16, I mean, do you settle for that? Yay, great. Nobody cares about the regular season. It's what, right, for college basketball, it's what you do today moving forward. You have to win 6 basketball games for most teams to win the national championship. It's about the now. I mean, Mississippi State got in. I mean, they're an 8-6, so you can get in the tournament. It's what you do now, and they've got him the name regular season Rick for a reason. And I know a lot of Tennessee fans hate hearing that, but that's the truth. That's what it is. And if they lose without getting to the Sweet 16, man, it's, I just think, who knows? I don't think, yeah, he loses his job. I think you're right. But I think there'll be a lot of people who are going to be really, really upset. And who knows?
Henry on our text line says the Vols are going to snap like the Preds and win it all. They will win it all. Hot take.
It'd be great. I'd love to see him go.
It'd be a huge story. Like, could you imagine this year Tennessee wins the national championship in basketball and the Preds win the Stanley Cup?
It'd be great.
How freaking awesome that would be in this area.
I think it would all be fantastic. And for those like, you don't want Tennessee to do well, I want all these teams to do well. I want Vanderbilt to do well. Middle Tennessee, Austin Peay, I'd love for these teams around our area to do well because, look, we see these coaches. We know these coaches. It's great. We have an affinity to these teams that we see and we cover all the time, right? So
yeah,
it's not like a national scale of things that go on. These are people in our backyard. We want to see them do well. And we know the kids. We know the parents. I mean, it's a lot of that goes on. So I'd love to see Tennessee basketball go win the national championship. It'd be fantastic. I'd love to see Vanderbilt do the same. All these teams do the same thing. But is it going to happen? Who knows? But right now, Tennessee's got the best shot at winning the national championship in basketball of any of these teams around.
So I have, before we get to Shea Ralph at 10:30, I have a Titans question that I want to ask you. It's what I asked on Jared versus Joe yesterday, but I'm curious of your answer.
God, please don't let it be who they're taking at number 7.
Who are they taking it? No, it is this.
All right,
do you believe, and I want you to think about it during the break, do you believe that Rand Carthon, as the general manager, has put Will Levis, or is putting, once it's all said, once the offseason is all said and done, free agency, draft, everything, is putting Will Levis in the best chance to succeed? Do you believe that they are doing that with all the moves they've made to this point and all the moves that they're going to make moving forward before they get to training camp? I'm curious of your answer of that. 615-737-1025 is our phone and text line. Driven by WilsonKennyHyundai.com. We also got a pair of Preds tickets that we'll give away before we get out of here. Chasing Big Joe, 1025, 106.3 The Game. Love this. Come and knock on our door. That's what we should call this show, Three's Company. Chasing Big Joe, 1025, 106.3 The Game. What?
You see the screen right now?
Yeah.
Is it up? All right. So yeah. I was at Goodwill in Donaldson years ago, and I find a signed copy of the Three's Company cast by Joyce DeWitt, who played the, not Chrissy, but not the other girl, the other roommate. And I found a site. So I've got it in our studio now. So we have
that's awesome.
We have a signed cast photo from Three's Company that I found at a Goodwill.
What a fantastic find. That's a good one. 615-737-1025. So I asked you before the break, and it was a question that I brought up on Jared versus Joe yesterday. Do you believe when this offseason's over, when it's all said and done, so free agency is complete, which they're through the first wave now. Titans did a lot in the first wave of free agency. Address the offense, you know, quite a bit. And then the draft. Do you believe that Rand Carthon and the Tennessee Titans will have set Will Levis up for success?
Man, that's such a good question.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. You ever been to the Regal Beagle?
I have not.
Okay. Maybe we should go there and talk about this question sometime. and bring Rex Rode and Stillman. We just hang out there and wait for Larry to come down, the neighbor upstairs in Three's Company. I think he has. I think he signed Tony Pollard. He got, you know, with Ridley coming in here, I think he is slowly building around this and letting Will Levis ride. Look, we saw Will Levis, again, we bring it up all the time. We saw Will Levis in Miami, right? He made some bad mistakes, out of the game. But you let that guy just go, let him play his game, let him have some fun. What happened? I mean, he led two drives down the field, plus a two-point conversion to get it done. And don't tell me that it was, you know, coaching or this and that. It was Levis making plays.
Defense made some stops, too.
To Hopkins. No, I'm talking about the drives on offense.
Yeah, yeah.
He found Hopkins. He let Hopkins cook a little bit. I mean, he was fantastic. I mean, it was fantastic. So I go back to that game to see when the chips are down, what Will Levis did. We saw their own eyes. Yes, Pollard, Ridley, Hopkins, you know, maybe Chick and start catching the ball again, do whatever. But get that offensive line. Yeah, I think he's put some pieces around him now. He got a good center. Look, the quarterback's best friend is the center. It's not a receiver. It's not a young running back or a good running back. It's the damn center. Those two are thicker than thieves. You got your center now, Cushenberry. You got your quarterback. I think Rand Carthon's done an excellent, excellent job of putting pieces around Will Levis. What did Rex Rode and Stillman say?
Rex Rode was pretty much like, you know, it's still incomplete right now, which is how I set the question up, but – he was like, yeah, and Stillman is saying no. I lean towards Stillman a little bit more simply because and I think this gets lost in it sometimes. The defense needs a lot of work, and you have to have a good defense for the quarterback to be successful, because if he puts up 27 points but the defense gives up 31, that doesn't really do you much good, does it?
See, the question to me is a little one-sided, because you're telling me pieces around Will Levis. I'm thinking offense. Will Levis has nothing to do with the defense.
Yeah, but it's a team sport, though.
Well, then
the whole
tell
team
me,
matters.
Then why not say that have the Titans done enough? Have the Titans as a whole done enough to build their football team? Well, you're telling me Will Levis. I'm thinking of Will Levis and running back, receiver, and tight end. I'm not thinking about can he stop a receiver on defense? Can he tackle somebody?
But I mean,
Rex Rode for the win.
The defense is a part of the weaponry for Will Levis. The defense has to do their part too. And if you don't have a very good defense, you're not putting the quarterback in a position to succeed.
Disagree.
Well, all right. Here's what's going to have to happen, though. If he's constantly chasing the game, what's he going to do? He's going to be throwing the ball 40 times a game, and he's going to be more prone to throwing picks.
Then figure a better way to say the question then. Have the Titans done enough to improve their team? It has nothing to do with
this. I said, as Rand Carthon and the Titans put Will Levis in a position to succeed? You can take that however you want it.
I'm taking it by offense. Has he built the offense around him? This has nothing to do with defense. Will Levis is a quarterback.
It has everything to do with the team.
Then
it's
say
the whole
that.
Team.
Say, is that another Will Levis? Has he done enough to help DeAndre Hopkins? I mean, it's all the
but
team.
You're just saying that the defense doesn't matter to the success of the quarterback.
No,
and
the
I
way
disagree.
You frame the question. I mean, I can have the court reporter read it back to you, Chase.
I know what the question was. The question was, has Rand Carthon and the Titans put Will Levis in a position to succeed? It's an open-ended question. If you're going to just say the offense, fine, but the defense does factor into this. If you don't have any corners to make plays and they're constantly letting the other team go downfield, I mean, you're going to put him in a position to make mistakes because he's constantly having to throw the football to chase the game.
How about have you done enough to help Jeffrey Simmons on defense? See what I'm saying?
The answer to that is no.
Okay, so that's a defensive question. That's not an overall team question. When you're telling me Will Levis, I'm thinking of a quarterback and his weapons that he has, not how they're going to stop the defense. That is, to me, that's psychobabble, man. Come on.
I understand. I respect you, but I disagree with you on this.
I mean, I could really – I mean, we're trying to get the court reporter to read it back right now if we can.
Is that Dr. Crane?
We're gonna do this.
Is he also the producer and the court reporter?
Let's break it down why he finds this. Let's talk about the offense. Has he got enough weapons now for Will Levis than they did on January 15th?
Absolutely.
Perfect.
100%.
Thank you. All right.
Look, from an offensive standpoint, I think outside you get now that's contingent on find the left tackle. Now, Jared's response is, do you want me to tell the right tackle story, the Floyd story? I think the right side is still a concern. But if you go into this year with Joe Alt, Skoronski, Cushenberry as the center and the left side, and then you keep the right side as is, I don't love that, but I'm going to feel better. I'm going to feel a lot better about that offensive line. It's definitely improved. Have you improved on receiver? I would say you have, because you've added Calvin Ridley. You brought NWI back. You're hoping that you're going to get improvement with Treylon Burks. And obviously you have D-Hop, and I still think you're going to draft a receiver. You know, running back, it's hard to say whether you've improved or not, because you've changed it. You've changed the position. You've gone from a, you know, bruising bell cow freak of nature in Derrick Henry to now two running backs that are going to fit your offense more, that can catch the ball and be offensive weapons. Tight end, I don't think you've improved. You haven't done anything to address tight end.
No, you haven't. But I mean, I think Spears is not being talked about enough in all this, because like, we got Pollard and we got Burks and we got Calvin Ridley. Look, Spears is such a great change of pace back. Everything that happened, when he did that in the Cotton Bowl versus USC, the way he ran the ball, how hard he ran, was fantastic. Dr. Crane, are we good on this? Here we go.
Answer that question.
I'll answer the question. You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
There we go. That's kidding. I don't need the court reporter to read it back to me. That's exactly. Good job, Dr. Crane. Save that, will you?
Yes, sir.
Well done.
Well done. So, no, Chase, I see what you're saying. I just think the question framed differently. If you go Will Levis, heck yeah. Leader of the defense, Jeffrey Simmons, have you done enough to help him out on that side? Absolutely not. You have not helped him out on that right there. But offense is good. Defense, nah. That's my take on it.
Okay. That's look, you're entitled to your take. I'm entitled to mine. The people are weighing in on this. Some agree with you and some agree with me. So
I'm entitled to takeout.
Yes, you are.
Yeah.
So, hey, listen, I know our next guest is coming up, Chase. Please, and tell us who our next guest is.
Shea Ralph, the head coach of the Vanderbilt women's basketball team.
Done a fantastic job. The run they make in the tournament, we're going to nickname the Commodores Wreck-It Ralph.
Ah, I like that. We'll talk to Coach Ralph coming up. I'm just moving on. We'll talk to Coach Ralph coming up next. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game here on this Thursday. It is tournament time, and Vanderbilt women's basketball team got into the round of 64 with a win last night over Columbia. And we say hello to their head coach, Shea Ralph, who is on the line with us. Coach, congratulations. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. We're great. Thank you so much. I'm really happy to be here with you guys again.
So did you celebrate a little bit last night after the win, and now you wake up this morning and all eyes on Baylor, or are you still kind of enjoying that that W a little bit?
Yeah, we definitely. I mean, we celebrate every win here, whether you guys see the wins or not. But we didn't have a lot of time to do that. We didn't leave the gym until about midnight last night. And then, you know, obviously the first order for us, the priority of getting the kids rested, the players rested and fed. And this morning we're up and at them preparing for Baylor. My staff is awesome. The assistant's probably up all night watching film and doing all the things, but we don't practice until later today. So it's about more recovery this morning and making sure we have our game plan together.
How do you help them, you know, kind of understand what this time of year is like? You did it as a player. You know, obviously have been now as a coach getting to the NCAA tournament, but it's a different time of year. It's you know, you're playing every other day, and then obviously you'll have a little bit of rest if you keep moving forward. But it's got to be an intense time, and if, you know, your players have never done this before, how do you kind of help them navigate those waters?
Yeah, it's a great question. The way that we do that starts way before we get here, right? So one of the things that we've talked about since we've been here with our team is preparing to play for championships. And so we schedule our games this way sometimes in the non-conference. We try to do, you know, I'll talk to them about, hey, this is what it looks like when we're going to get to the NCAA tournament. We're going to have to prepare this way. We're going to play two really good teams. You know, 2 days apart, and that's what it's going to feel like when you get into March. The same thing with practice. film, preparation, recovery. We try to treat the entire year as we would treat the NCAA tournament so that when we get here, even though they know it's different because it's March and you lose and you go home, we don't prepare any differently. We don't practice any differently. Nothing. We don't travel any differently. Everything looks exactly the same. So they know and feel, hey, we've been here before, even though they haven't in March. And a lot of what you experience in the NCAA tournament, guys, you don't know until you get here. You don't know until you experience it. So that's one of the things I'm really excited about for my team, because they're experiencing it for the first time. But we got to win. We won. We're still here. We're still dancing. And I could just see the level of confidence lift yesterday in the locker room. They were so, so happy, so proud, so excited. And we're really, really looking forward to playing again tomorrow.
We're talking to Vanderbilt women's basketball coach Shea Ralph. And coach, let's go back to Sunday when you heard your team's name announced, you're in the tournament. How just elated were you for your team and your staff? Because, you know, it's funny, people think you guys just show up in September and start playing basketball. But, I mean, you're there in May, June, July, August. You see the sweat and the tears. How much elation was it when you saw the name called and the hard work pay off?
Man, I don't even know that I can put the joy into words. The happiness I felt for my team, my staff, the happiness I felt for our program, our athletic director, our chancellor, you know, our community, everyone who has invested so much in our program, that, you know, it shows our team. And I was saying this to them earlier. I think it's hard this day and age when you're leading a young group, to get them to understand, you know, how great things take time. And that's not the world that we live in. I mean, I can order something from Amazon right now and it'll be here in a couple hours, you know, like
right.
it's not the world we live in. And so getting them to understand, hey, keep your head down, limit your distractions, focus on what you can control, do the work. I promise you it will pay off. And so to see them experience that moment for me, as a leader, as a person that's trying to guide them in life and help them grow as young women, was just so joyful and so huge. And I'm just glad that I get to be on this journey with them and that we get to fight another day.
You guys take on Baylor tomorrow. How do you I know the answer, but I don't know if the audience knows the answer. When you go and you play Columbia, and when you play Baylor, you've already scouted Baylor. And that's not being cocky or confident. You just got to do your due diligence in case you win the game. So you've already scouted Baylor a little bit, correct?
Oh, yeah, yeah. My assistant coaches are responsible for that. So one coach had Columbia, and, you know, we found out on Sunday night, and then we left on Monday early afternoon. And he had the game scouted by then. And the other two are working on the other teams in the tournament so that, you know, when we win and we move forward, we're prepared. So I have a coach actually outside the room waiting for me to talk about Baylor right now. We've scouted them. The film is ready for the players. The report is printed. And now we don't change anything, you know, and that's how we, like I said earlier, that's how we prepare all year. Nothing is different for us. Now we just go in technically, how are we going to defend them? How are we going to score against them? What does that look like? What are the keys to the game? Utilizing everything we've worked on all year.
Coach Shea Ralph is with us, Vanderbilt women's basketball coach. So I know Iyanna Moore had 22 points last night, but what's going through your mind when she hits that big three-pointer in the final 30 seconds as things are wrapping up?
You know, as soon as it left her hands, I felt like it was going in. I feel that way anytime she takes a big shot. But it was, you know, going through my mind, if we better get our butts back on D, you know, and not give them an easy bucket. But I also felt like for Iyanna, just watching the game yesterday, watching her prepare all year, knowing what she went through last year, early on, had that knee injury, her first big injury of her career, she's looking and playing like, you know, an All-American. She's playing like a kid who wants to be great. She's a dynamic elite guard. And when you make those shots in those moments in March, you know, that kind of stuff you can't give a player in practice. I can't give her the level of confidence that she just gained last night in practice or in a regular season game. That's a huge moment for our team, but it was also a huge moment for Iyanna Moore. I'm really excited to continue to watch her grow.
You know, something that you talked about earlier about, you know, winning, and we talked to you earlier in the year about, you know, coming in and working with these girls and teaching them how to win, because you got to learn that at some point. You can't just show up, put a team together, and all of a sudden, you know, you're winning games. You grew up in a culture of winning, playing at UConn, coaching at UConn with Gino, and learning that. How did you take some of those things that you learned both as a player and then as assistant, and have now applied it to Vanderbilt, that we're now starting to see the fruits of that labor as you make the NCAA tournament?
Yeah, that's a great question, man. I think that probably there's a couple things that I've taken and that I've tried really hard to apply here. The first is resiliency. So one of the things that I respected about Coach Arima as a leader was his resiliency and his ability to show up the same way every day. And I know as a leader of our program and the coach of our young women, I can't ask them to do something that I'm not willing to do myself. You know, I got to show up with positive energy. I got to weather the storm. I got to throw punches and whatever they need from me, I got to bring it. And also I think that the main thing, hopefully, that you guys are seeing is the culture that we're building. And to me, that's being myself, my staff, our players investing in each other and building real relationships. So I'm a relationship based coach. I'm not transactional. And I feel like I have to know my kids. I got to know my players. I got to know my staff as human beings to be able to give them each what they need when they need it. I thought Coach Arima was really good at that. It's one of his greatest assets. It's his ability to know, you know, who he's working with and to be able to press the buttons that need to be pressed so that he can maximize their full potential. And so I think what you're seeing now is our kids understanding what that looks and feels like. We've built trust. It takes time. We've built trust. We've laid a foundation of a really strong culture. And now they're seeing the benefits of what all that looks like and feels like when you get to compete, you know, for championships, and that your culture is strong enough to do so.
We're talking to Vanderbilt women's basketball coach Shea Ralph today. And coach, I got to ask you this. You spent so much time around Gino as a player and a coach, and I know he drove you crazy. But as a coach, as a head coach, have you done things to, and like, oh my God, I'm now Gino. This is what he did, and now I'm doing the same thing. There's got to be instances where you kind of like emulating what he did because you spent so much time around him.
Yeah, I think I could. I mean, I could probably give you a million examples. Some that are like, I'm really proud of that. You know, like, hey, that was like Coach Arima. Some I'm like, oh my God, I sound just like Coach Arima. Like you would say when you sound like, I sound like my mom sometimes. I'm like, oh no, I don't want to do that. You know, but it's funny because you spend so much time with people, and hopefully I'm a lot like him, but I'm also very different. You know, I'm a little bit more laid back. I'm not Italian and I don't have that like Italian fire, but I have passion and fire myself. I think some of the things, that he taught me in some moments where I'll say things and I'll be like, oh my gosh, I remember him saying that. And you know, I'll shoot him a message or some of the staff members a message and be like, I can't believe I said this, but I did, you know, and, sounded just like you. But I think it's pretty cool now for me to be in this position. And I couldn't be more grateful for the time that I spent at Connecticut, the opportunity that I got to do things there with him for our team at UConn to compete for championships has built me into who I am now and has prepared me for this moment with my team.
Well, Coach, best of luck against Baylor. Enjoyed this conversation, and very happy for you all. It's not done yet, though, but looking forward to watching the ride and talking to you down the road.
That's right. It's not done yet. Anchor down, everyone. I'm so happy to be here today. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Coach Shea Ralph joining us, Vanderbilt women's basketball coach, as they will take on Baylor tomorrow. We'll have pregame coverage with our man Jake Lyman, who's done a tremendous job all year, on the call at 4:45 on 94.9 The Fan, so you can hear that game as they take on Baylor. We'll come back with celebrity birthdays and what day is it. But right now, 615-737-1025, caller number 5 will win a pair of tickets to see the Predators take on the Vegas Golden Knights coming up on Tuesday. Caller number 5, 615-737-1025. You'll win some Preds tickets. That's celebrity birthdays and what day is it next. Chasing Big Joe, 1025, 106.3 The Game. Big Joe, 1025, 1063, The Game. Appreciate Shea Ralph for joining us. Best of luck to them against Baylor and moving forward. I know we don't have a lot of time, so real quick, let's get 2 celebrity birthdays.
Hold on, Chase. Hold on. Got it, Dr. Crane. Hit it.
This is it, sir.
Okay. That's Wreck-It Ralph theme?
Yeah.
I thought it was Wreck-It. Okay. All right. Anyway, thanks for a Venerable Women's Coach Shea Ralph.
Is that what we're doing?
All right. Go, Dr. Crane. My bad. Hit it. You got it. Well done. Basketball starts in about 15 minutes.
It sure does.
Let the madness go. There we go.
All right, gentlemen, here we go. Sorry.
Well, my man, well,
moving
hard
back here. Absolute Incredible Kid Day. That is also for today.
It's about J.J. Dubin.
Companies That Care Day. I know this company cares.
Cromwell Media, baby.
Yep.
That's right. Cromwell Cares.
International Color Day for blankets is what it's showing here. Let's see. International Day for Elimination of Racial Discrimination. That is always noted. Memory Day. Let's talk about that.
Can't recall it.
National California Strawberry Day.
They're good. I have no idea.
International Tiramisu Day.
I really love
some tiramisu.
So she moved away.
International Forest Day.
Forest?
Yeah.
Like Forrest Gump?
No, like actual forest.
My name's Forrest. Forrest Gump.
There's a lot of them going on here.
I just get it. We'll
go on to you. Go ahead.
All right, birthdays. Celebrity birthdays. America's Favorite Game on America's Favorite Radio Show. First birthday, James Bond. Timothy Dalton. How old is Timothy Dalton?
62.
71.
Oh, wait.
78. Chase, you can't do that. You already got one.
I know.
Quite possibly the best actor of our generation, Gary Oldman. How old is Gary Oldman?
Ooh. 70.
78.
66. Way to pay attention, y'all. Actor, Ferris Bueller, Matthew Broderick, who, by the way, best movie, War Games. Never saw it, go watch it. Matthew Broderick, how old?
That is a good one. 61.
63.
62, that's a push. You boneheads. Comedian Rosie O'Donnell, how old is Rosie O'Donnell?
67.
77.
62. Come on down a bit. Let's see more. Clint Eastwood's son, Scott Eastwood, who looks just like him.
58.
45.
38. Comedian Brad Hall, who is married to Julia Louis-Dreyfus. How old is he? He was on Saturday Night Live. Brad Hall.
57.
That's Seinfeld, so that would be 61.
66. My goodness, there's nothing here. You guys are killing me here. It's zero. Let's see here. Oh, my goodness. I don't know any of these people. Actress, she lives here, Cassie DePaiva. She was in Days of Our Lives. She lives here in Nashville. She used to.
67.
79.
63. One more here. Musician DJ Premier of the group Gang Starr.
55.
57? 58?
Oh, 57? With the buzzer, Dr. Crane!
57?
58.
Oh, okay. Nice.
I thought we were going to have a zero in the game for the first time ever. Well done, boys. Enjoy March Madness before we leave you. To our guys out there, listen, if you need to talk to somebody, 988 on your cell phone. Please call somebody. Reach out to us if you need to talk. We want to let you guys know that we love you and our world is a better place because you're here. Please know that. Chaser.
That is very, very true. Peace, love, rock and roll. Enjoy the madness. Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace coming up next. Here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game.